We've been studying about being compelled, been focusing on missions, been talking about what God is doing throughout the world, been challenging us to get focused and to be compelled to make a difference in our community, in our lives. We live very busy and hectic lives. Life is pulling us in all directions. We are making investments. We're a society of investments. We invest in so many things. We find ourselves being pulled. We find ourselves in a paradox, wanting to do more, wanting to be more, but struggling at the same time. Something I like to start off with.
Paradox of our time.
We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways,
but narrower viewpoints.
We spend more,
but have less. We buy more,
but enjoy it less.
We have bigger houses,
but smaller families.
More conveniences,
but less time. But less time. But
less time. Less time.
More channels,
but nothing worth watching.
We've earned more degrees,
but lost our common sense.
We have more knowledge,
but less discernment.
There are more experts, but more problems.
More health magazines,
but less wellness.
This is a time when we choose any religion that fits our personality,
but deny the God who gave us one. We have multiplied our possessions,
but reduced our values.
We talk too much,
love seldom,
and hate too often.
We've learned how to make a living,
but not a life.
We've conquered outer space,
but not inner space.
This is the paradox of our time.
This is the paradox.
We've cleaned up the air, but polluted our minds. We've split the atom, but not our prejudice.
We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies, to pass around to more people. We have less communication.
We've learned to rush,
but not to wait.
And under the magnificence,
of a starry night,
we applaud the design.
We applaud the design.
And ignore the designer.
And ignore the designer.
We're in the season of hurried vacations,
preoccupied minds,
quick trips, and fast food.
We have fancier houses,
but broken homes.
Steeper profits and shallower relationships. Newfound riches, but lost souls.
This is indeed a time when we place more value on success than on significance.
This is the paradox of our time.
We're constantly being pulled, constantly moving every direction. Let me share with you a few statistics. The average American, it's combining male and female lives together, will live about 77 years. Let's break that down. 77 years actually is 28,000 days, 670,000 hours, 40 million minutes. Our lives just got shorter, didn't they? 77 years seems like a long time away for me. But when I start, the one that really jumped out at me was 670,000 hours. I think I've burned up over half of them already. Do the math, and I'm 41, so yeah, I have. I'm on the downhill slide. Of course, some of you hit the bottom and going on up because you're extending this. No, I won't go there. First service, that worked real good. But we're constantly being pulled. We're running out of time. There's so many things we're trying to get done, and we just can't get our hands around it. For instance, did you know the average American will spend about 40 minutes a day on the telephone, which is about 20 hours a month, which is about 10 days a year, which is about 2 years of your life you spend on the telephone. Or you spend time in a restroom about 1 hour a day, breaks down to about 30 hours a month, about 10 days a year, and about just over 2 years of your life we spend in the restroom. Or watching TV, the average American watches 3 hours of television a day, which is 90 hours a month, which is 15 days per year, which is 3 years of your lifetime watching television. You spend about seven hours sleeping and about 7.5 hours at work a week on average, which would equal about 22 years of your life doing those items. So if you do the math, you spend 52 years doing those things. You have 25 left. What are you going to do with it? As the average Christian, however, spends roughly 10 minutes or less a day with the Creator God, the Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, the one who gave us the breath we take in, which is only about 7 months out of a lifetime you spend with God. Our goal is not to spend time here on earth to obtain possessions and things. This is where we begin to make our eternal preparation. We are not spending that long here. Scripture tells us in James that life is but a mist, here for a little while and then vanishes. If that is true, our time in eternity is much greater. It is eternity. We can't put minutes or hours to it. What are we doing to prepare to make an eternal significance? We get distracted by the things that we do, and we're constantly challenged by the paradox of life. We focus on the future, worry about tomorrow, and wonder what's next in our lives. We are challenged to invest in our retirements, into our work, into our children, into our recreation. Because if you work too much, you better find some time to relax so that you can rest. And so we find time in our hobbies. We spend money on boats and guns and sewing equipment and all these things, and then let them sit aside because we're too busy working. There's a constant challenge for us at work. There's a story of a man that he so badly desired to get a promotion that he would spend extra hours at work proving his loyalty to his boss, demonstrating he can get all the things done that need to be done, and he constantly was at work. He received a promotion. The promotion gave him more money, but also gave him more responsibilities. The more responsibilities required more time. He never enjoyed the children, the wife, or the boat. I wish I could say this is one of those stories that doesn't really happen. But we have that going on in my personal family right now. I have a cousin. I hate it for him. He wanted to start his own business, and he focused so much time, energy, and effort. 2 years ago, the business did $40 million. Today, he sits in a motorhome in a trailer park. His wife is gone. His kids want nothing to do with him. The business is folded, and they're foreclosing on his house, and he doesn't have a dime to his name. I think he just turned 49. He was striving for all these things of greatness and achieved them, but lost everything. He lost a family, lost his focus. What a child. We constantly invest in children. I have two kids, and I love spending time with them. But we often say, well, they're in soccer, they're in baseball, they're in football, they're in bowling, they're in ice hockey, they're a cheerleader, they're in chess club, they're in this, they're in that. And we run and run and run and run and run some more to get them to where they need to be or where we want them to be or for them to participate in what they're going to participate in. And I thought, Jason and I were talking about this the other day, and he really drew it up well. He's a big soccer buff, played soccer as a child all the way through college, and just loves soccer, and he's very good at it. He said, let's take a small child that was really good in soccer, one from playing just regular fall soccer, they play spring soccer, and then they get in summer leagues, and they're so good they get to a travel team. And from the travel team, they get picked up and looked at by the high school coach, are now playing as a starter high school soccer. From there, a major college or university looks at him and says, man, they are so great that we're going to give them a full ride scholarship to the university. And they go to the university and they play great there. And the MLS, Major League Soccer, notices them and says, we're going to give you a contract for a multi-million dollars to come play for us. And the parent was like, oh, it's all worth it. You know, all the sacrifice, the trips back and forth to the soccer fields, you know, early Sunday mornings and Saturday mornings, and it was so worth it. Then Jason told me this statistic. Did you know 80% of those children that graduate high school without a relationship to Jesus Christ never will receive him as their Lord and Savior? I'm glad they're a great soccer player, but they just missed out on Sunday worship, Sunday school, youth groups, youth events, retreats, CIYs, and they don't have any foundation that they build their life on. Hey, but they're great in soccer, and they have millions of dollars, and they could pay for my retirement. And they miss out on eternity. We put priorities on things that are not so significant. We lose focus and balance. We have to regain a focus. We have to get a mindset of preparing our kids, preparing ourselves for what is eternally significant. It's not what's tomorrow or what's in the next 10 years or even what's in the next 50 years. It's about for what's hereafter. When this body is no longer a vessel walking this earth, what is there? I want to share a scripture with you. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, by the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as an excellent builder, someone else building on it. But each one of you should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one laid, which is Jesus Christ. If a man builds on a foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because a day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer great loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. We have a challenge before us. Christ has laid a tremendous foundation for us to build on, a foundation where he is asking us to build our house on, our life on, while we're on this earth. We're mere vessels for him. It's up to you how you'll build that house. You may choose to build out of fine gold or silver or wonderful stones, precious stones, hay or straw or wood. But understand, that's the time, energy, and effort that you're going to put forth into building that house. You could build a house out of straw and twigs pretty quick. You throw it together, throw some hay bales together and call it a home and go on and do what you want. That will show what your level of investment into eternity is. Or you could take the time, put forth the effort to make a tremendous difference in all eternity. Not for just you, but for your families. I'll be honest, this is a challenge. It's not one or the other. It's a combination of both. We have to find that balance in our life that when we will spend the effort to invest for the time that we are here, to make college preparations for children, to relax and enjoy what God has given us. But we also have to balance it out with what is eternally happening. We have to take the time, energy, effort to put forth in our relationship with God. We have to spend time in His Word. We have to spend time in His house. We have to spend time in His service. Let's spend time instructing our children in him. The other statistic that's out there, something that's less than 1% of all high school athletes will ever put on a jersey of a professional athlete. So I look in the mirror and look at my kids going, you don't have the genetics. I'm not getting you to be a professional. So you better study. We have to get focused on this. What's been interesting is over the past few weeks, Ken Boatwright and I have been talking on this topic. And we're talking about what has happened, why people are they not investing in themselves eternally. Why are they getting involved or not getting involved in the church? And through this discussion, it was really neat. I want to invite Ken up here, but I also want to invite you to listen in on the conversation Ken and I have been sharing with her for the past couple weeks. And hopefully you'll glean something from it. Not saying that we have all the answers, but there is something there that we have learned when we took time and looked inside ourselves, and we looked inside you all, and we looked inside the church. See, our life, our society, once revolved around the church. When the doors opened, everybody was there. It was a center of all social activities. It was a center of education. It was a center of the community. Everybody looked and focused on the church. But now it's moved the churches out on the fringe. At one time, Sunday school attendance would be 90 to 100% or 125% of morning worship. Currently, if we could reach 50%, we will be doing better than most churches nationally of those who are attending Sunday school. Well, Sunday school is for kids. No, it's for adults too, to get an in-depth study of God's Word so that we will grow. We are constantly challenged, though. Our lives have changed. Our society has changed. We're working more hours than ever before. We're attending more children's activities. Many of you, like me, can remember when maybe your parents did not show up at the soccer match or wrestling match or whatever you were involved in. And you're not going to miss one of your kids now. We have two parents that are working now. One used to stay home. We have broken families where children are split between mom's weekend and dad's weekend. We have all the recreational time that we tried to make up because we are working so much and we have bought the new boat and we have to find some time to use it. Sunday mornings is the only day I could sleep in, you know. Then we have the increasing debt load of Americans and inflation continue to rise. So we have to go back to the beginning and put more time in at work so we can continue to pay for the toys that we have. So as Ken and I talked, I asked him the question, what would you attribute all these change and lack of focus in people's involvement in church in? Ken?
Well, as Joby and I were discussing this, like you said, for several weeks, I believe that there were two major reasons why people are not investing in the church maybe as they had in the past. And the first, I believe, is just what Joby has explained very, very well here this morning, is the paradox of life. Life happens, and we get caught up in it, and things begin to move so fast and at such a rapid speed that before we know it, we're living a life that we stop and we look around and we think, I'm not even happy with this. I don't even like where all this is going. I told the story of when I first became a Christian. Patty and I were just married. We're young. Our second baby was on the way. We weren't in the church, and it just seemed like life was going nowhere. And I looked at Patty, and I said, good people go to church, don't they? And she's like, what's the matter of you, you know? And so, I don't know, you know, just life was going nowhere. And I think that's where we're at today sometimes. Even as Christians, we get caught up in life and everything. And the crazy thing is, we even begin to think that it's expected of us. That because other kids' children are coming home and they want the big things, the right toy, the right thing, they want to go to the right places, that we have to do that for our children too. And it doesn't stop with our children. You know what I'm talking about, dads. You know, everybody else on the street's got a big screen TV. Well, we're expected to get a big screen TV too. And it just goes on and on. The cars, the boats that Joby mentioned. And we find ourselves, we're in this paradox of life. And we don't like it, but we don't know how to get out. And the fact is, basically, we have two choices. Get out or live life the way it is.
Ken, you know, as you and I shared, I'm a parent. I have two children. My wife works downtown, and she spends an hour in travel each way of the morning and of the evening. They're both involved in swimming 6 days a week. They have meets this and that time, plus work. You know, I work. So I try to help at home. I do some laundry now and then. I cook some. Kids are cooking already to help create that balance. But change, I feel like I'm that little hamster inside that wheel, just running. And I don't know how to get off at times.
Well, he kind of took me back here. I don't know if I can exactly relate because I've never done laundry and I don't cook. But anyway, every life is different. But if we want to change, it's up to us. It's up to you, Joby. It's up to me. It's up to you all. Each family member has to look at your life and say, what are we focused on? Is that what we want to be focused on or not? And if it's not, you need to change. But change is hard. Change is difficult. You know, and like Joby said, it's not one or the other. We are not all at all preaching a message of just put the blinders on and come straight to church. Jesus said we have to be in the world, but not of the world. We are a light unto the world. Remember the little song we sang with kids? Let my light shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. You know, we can't hide our light under a bushel. We are in the world. So we have to be able to let our light shine. Romans 12:2 to me says it so clear. If you want to change, Paul writes to the Romans and he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That says it right there. Do not conform. How? Any longer. Paul's saying stop. Change. Don't conform to the world any longer. Be transformed. Change again. Paul's saying you have to change. You're too much like the world. You have to change. How? By renewing your mind. Again, renewing is another change word. Changing your mind. Transform your mind. And as then Paul says that you will be able to see the true will of God, his good and perfect will. However, and this is a big however, change is difficult. Change is hard. You have to stop one behavior before you start another one. And if you say, well, I got the kids and wife's job and everything, but I'm going to start changing Monday. If you don't have a plan, you kind of out of it. The second thing that, moving on into to another realm, the second thing that I think has contributed to a lack of focus in our church anyway, at Minotown, among members, is that our church has just changed so much, so rapidly, in just a very, very short time. Leadership has changed, turned over so quickly. We have elders that have been elders for the first time. We have deacons that have been deacons for the first time. New elders, new deacons coming in trying to figure out the system, who does what and how they work. The second thing is we've had a big change in staff. Would you say that's accurate?
Big change in staff. That's an understatement. Wow. I can remember, there's a quote I made. Todd Shaw haunts me back with it all the time. I told him when I first got here, I said, in 5 years, there'll be a new church. Because they said the average rotation of a church, it has new personality about every 5 years. When I told him that, I had no clue what I was saying or what I would experience in the next 5 years. See, I was hired as a fifth staff person. I was going to do involvement, which meant pastoral care and small groups. That was my area. I was excited about that. Needless to say, that's not where I'm at right now. Since I've been here 5.5 years, and I look at all staffing, secretaries to custodial, ministerial staff, there's been 13 different staff positions vacated since I've been here in 5 years, 5.5 years. We have a new preacher, a new music guy, we have a new youth guy, we have new secretaries. The only original staff when I came here is me. That was taxing. What we're learning is, who's supposed to cover some of these areas that we didn't know were even areas to be covered? You know, whose job was that? And does it still continue on? That change happens. But Ken, as we talk about all this change that happens in staff and church and membership, and how can the church start joining in and getting involved?
Well, I think what we're hitting on, what we're talking about, is an information and communication crisis here with all this change. Plus, our membership has changed drastically. People that were involved in things have left, and new people have come in, and there are these areas. And I was just talking to one of our members just the other day about this, and it kind of came up just out of them asking the question, why don't the prayer sheets, why aren't they put into the bulletin on Sundays? And my basic answer was that, it takes someone to put them in there. Someone has to stuff them in there, we just, a lack of volunteers. We've discovered that it's kind of useless to put a request in the bulletin or the newsletter that we need a volunteer to do something, because we get a very little response. Well, this conversation I had with this person, it was just great, because they said, they began to map out several areas that they were serving in or that they were doing a part in, and they were no longer asked. Or the rotation came around, the new schedule come out, and their name was not on it, something like that. And so we had a long conversation about this, because I said, let's talk more, because it's these things are not done on purpose. Let's get to the bottom of why this is happening. And so it was just really neat. But what we discovered was, and what I told them, that some things are not being done anymore because we don't have the people to do them. And some things have changed because someone new has come in and didn't realize how it was done. Or like Joey said, even that we had a process to do something. So they've created a process, a new schedule. Well, here's the old process, which it's not old. It was the exact same thing with different people. But then these people are left wondering, well, what? They don't appreciate my talents. They don't appreciate my skills. So, we're left in this dilemma.
People not signing up because they believe, I've done it for years. I should be asked. Yeah. And now I'm not being asked, and so they don't want me and feel rejected and pushed out of their areas of service. It's an unfortunate thing. It's communication. I can remember when I first came here, we probably mailed out 500 or 600 newsletters, and now we do it by email. We don't even mail out maybe 50 to 75. But we still have the bulletin, but the bulletin has changed from a newsletter size that lists every event and how to do everything to a smaller format. But people still aren't reading it at times. They even yesterday I saw somebody, oh yeah, I've not been in worship, so I've not read the bulletin for a month. Does being upstairs in worship have anything to do with reading or not reading bulletin? Last week I shared about small groups and different events that are going to be happening, life groups, life classes. I said, we can only provide opportunities for you to be a part of, mission trips also, and different things. But it's up to you. We can only provide that opportunity. You have to grab a hold of and start making that change towards an eternal significance. Yes, there's been communication blunders, things that should have been printed, didn't get printed, or should have been promoted, and maybe not. But there's also our failure of of y'all accepting your role and implying at times, saying, hey, I'm here. I want to be a servant. I want to help. Where can I do it? You have gifts and talents that can be used and plugged in. And I've only been here 5.5 years, and I don't know everyone's talents. Josh, he's been here, was it 4.5? Dusty's been here 2. Jason's been here 1. I can remember when I first came, there's 10 elders. I can remember going down to 1. We're up to 5. It's a big change. We need your involvement. We need your information. We need to talk and share and communicate, to get involved. We need to fix the communication blunders so we can make an internal difference. As I continue to look at life and look at the challenges that are presented before us, we have to start finding that balance, understanding what our role is. There's a discussion where there's a loss of ownership in the church. It's the young people's church. But it's not. It's our church, the body of believers.
Well, a lot of times when we find ourselves in a void, well, how do we handle this? How do we handle this situation? We're totally unaware that maybe something was already in place to take care of that. So our young staff, not knowing, they put something in place that takes care of that. And that's how they handle it. But then what that has created, and we apologize for this, that maybe we have created a situation here where it is difficult for you to do your ministry. We have maybe quenched your passion. The person told me that I was talking to said they finally reached a point where they're not mad, they're not upset, they still enjoy Miamitown, but they have reached a point where they thought, I'm just not needed. And so they just kind of take the quiet step back. And that just really broke my heart to hear that. And that's why Joey and I have been spending so much time on how do we turn this thing around. And Joey said, well, I'm preaching Sunday. So we're here to just kind of address that. And hopefully you'll work with us and get back with us and let us know where we're missing the boat. I had served as an elder at my town for several years. Due to some family situations and that, I stepped down for 4 or 5 years. So I'm kind of new coming back in. You know, I'm not aware of some things. So this is where we're at.
We have a challenge before us. Balancing out how we used to do things, how we are going to do things newly in the future. Balancing out understanding, balancing out communication. We must not forget the main thing is our goal is to make an eternal difference. There's people outside these doors that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and that will not know it. No matter how many staff we bring on, no matter what we do staff-wise, they will never know because they're connected to you. That you see them in the grocery store, you work with them, they're your neighbors. Only through your energy and effort will they ever know the message that Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, only through your efforts. Over the past month, we've heard different stories from those we brought in for missions. We heard about Jay Henry and the loss of life that he's experiencing in the ministerial staff in India. We look at the hurricanes down in Haiti and in Jamaica. We hear about the brand new church starting up down in Paraguay. All these take willing people. All these take funds. It takes prayer warriors. It takes so many areas where you can be involved. You should be involved in many of these. I know a little bit Dusty's going to share a prayer request about Ralph Ramsey. We've been praying about Ralph. One he won't share is I'm going to get in trouble, is they have a baby due tomorrow. Pretty sure it's going to be here. And it was due last week, but it's going to be here tomorrow.
That's Dusty, not Ralph and Janet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know that. You know, there's going to be needs there that they're going to have. I mean, one, they have to be at the hospital at 2:30 a.m. And Dusty's only seen that from the backside when he stayed up and worked that long. He probably going to do that tonight. I'm going to stay up the whole time. You know, there are needs, and you guys can fill them. There's areas of ministry that you can be participating in. There's so many things we could do to help change the world and the community that we live in. But the church is here to provide that opportunity. In all honesty, we didn't want to push anybody out of ministry. We want to push them into ministry to make it more efficient, more effective, so we can get more done to reach a greater cause of people. But you have to help us. You have to tell us you're willing and able to do that. Can we talk about areas of responsibility, areas of ministry you could get involved in, where you could come study and grow closer to God? There's a passage I want to share with you out of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, we're all confident and know that as long as we're at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from this body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive what he is due him from the things they have done while in this body, whether good or rather bad." We live in a realm of faith. We have never seen our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't wait to that moment when we do. We have the desire to be with Him. But right now we're not. We are in these earthly bodies. And we need to strive to do whatever pleases Him. We live in a world that is selfish, focused on themselves. We want to do what pleases us quite often, not what pleases Him. We need to step back and refocus our lives. Start creating change and balance. You know, like I said earlier, my kids are in swimming 6 days a week. They're there. It's a wonderful event. I enjoy participating and watching them, but I have to keep that in balance. They can't swim every Sunday. Actually, they don't swim on Sundays. We don't permit that unless it's at the championship level, you know, divisionals and state. They have to earn that right to be gone on a Sunday. And just the choices we've made as a family. They need to participate. They need to learn about Jesus Christ. We need to serve. I know we're coming up in the winter with all of our life classes. Well, for life classes to operate, we need people in nursery and into preschool and into children's ministry are willing to serve, to make a difference in children's lives. Not so we can just do the program, it's so that all the lives will be changed. We have life groups that would happen on Sunday nights while youth groups are going on. You can participate in that way. So many different ways. Just sitting here, I'm looking at several things I know about. I received an email from one individual over here. It says, "I want to be a part of the missions ministry." I'm excited about that. I didn't have to go ask her. She volunteered. I'm excited about what God's going to do with her energy and talents and desires for God. I look back and I think Jason, as we do the well, Jason Stark back here and his time and he puts forth to bring the well on to us and the practices of all the instrumentations and all the singers. What an awesome event. And it's bringing people closer to God. And I thank God for him. You all have that choice. The first thing, however, you have to start with a solid foundation on Jesus Christ. Without him, you will be able to do nothing. You know the story. You'll be building your house on the sand. When the storms of life come, it will blow it over. We need to build on Jesus Christ. We need to build that house that will last. When we are tested with fire, when we are standing before the judgment seat of God, He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the challenge I present to you all today, is to look at your lives. Look at, if you're on the wheel running circles, stop it. Get off of it. First service, one of the comments I share with them is, if I whine and complain about my life and how busy I am, they simply tell me, get over it. Get over it. Get involved. Do what you need to do to make an eternal significance. Change this world for God.